everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author to Author, where we talk about writing in life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. It's true. It's true. Life's a creative process. That's all it is. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as some video and occasional audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. It's not out yet. It'll be up probably next week. Today is, what, the 12th? Today is the 12th. I think it'll be up next week, the end of this week. Our new issue, including an interview with Mr. Robert Dagoni, the international Amazon best-selling suspense writer. And, I should say, that's at authormagazine.org. Robert Dagoni, will also be the keynote speaker at the upcoming Pacific Northwest Writers Association Writers Conference, because Author to Author is funded by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association, who have been supporting writers from penned-up publications since 1955. That conference, July 28th, here at the Doubletree Hilton in SeaTac. Like I said, Bob Dagoni is going to be doing the keynote, and he's a great speaker, tells great stories, very inspiring guy. He's also going to be teaching a master class, as will Donald Moss, as will Bob Mayer, that crazy marketing master. And I'll be teaching a master class in memoir. So check it out. I think there are still some spots left at pnwa.org. pnwa.org. Oh, people, today, well, we're going to be doing a little something different. No interviews today. We're going to be doing a fearless writing masterclass. Speaking of masterclasses, fearless writing. Fearless writing. Fearless writing masterclass. You know, if you want to write, I do believe that if you really want to write, meaning you would really do it whether anybody paid you to do it or not. You really can't not do it. It's not always easy. Sometimes you don't know what you want to write. Sometimes things don't come as effortlessly as you want. But you do love to do it. And if you love to do it, I believe that the only thing that can stand between your writing and the career you want as a writer is fear. Not really craft, although you do have to learn the craft, but it's fear. Fear is really the only obstacle. And we're going to talk about the various fears that really come very naturally to the writer. You see, here's the thing. You may or may not have noticed this, but really writing, the best writing occurs when you forget to care what other people think of what you write. If you love to write, you have entered what I call the flow. Others have called it that. But it's that dreamlike state you enter when the writing seems to be moving along and you lose track of time and you lose track of what's going on outside your window, and you're not thinking about how old you are, you're not thinking about yesterday, you're not thinking about tomorrow, you're just thinking about that story or that poem or that essay, and you forget to worry and you forget to care. And when you're done, you kind of look up and can't, whoa, look how much time has gone by. That effortless flow you can sometimes and maybe often dip into, but you can only enter that flow that I'm talking about, that you're all familiar with, that you probably wouldn't want to write if you hadn't entered it. You may not get into it all the time, but it is the greatest pleasure that writing and creativity in general offers us, that experience where really the best writing happens. You can't be in that and wonder what other people think about what you write. You can't be simultaneously interested in an idea simply because you're interested in it, not because it's going to sell, not because it's going to make you a lot of money, not because it's going to win you an award. You can't be unconditionally interested in an idea and be wondering whether other people will like it, wondering whether your agent will like it or not, wondering whether you will find a publisher or whether you will increase your readership with that story. The only way to write happily and fearlessly is to forget to care what other people think of what you're going to write, which is not so easy because, of course, you want to be authors, don't you? You all want to be authors. You want to write these stories. You want to share it with other people. You do. You want to share your work with other people. And as well you should, by the way, because you don't write a story unless you love it. That's why you do it. Now, you may be shy about that. You may not feel comfortable telling people how awesome you think your stories are. But you do, that's why you wrote them. That's why you're writing them. And what do you do with things you love? You share them. Just like if you found a book you read and you loved it, you would share it with your friends. When you find a story you love and you write it, you want to share it with other people. And you want to get paid for it, which is you should as well. You want other people to read it, and you should want other people to read it. That's the destination. That is what you are meant to do with the stories you write. Share it with other people, but that's where the trouble is. You know that agents and editors and readers and publishers and reviewers and the public at large are all other people. And you know that's where your work is going. You know that you're writing, you're not writing for yourself, you're not writing just to keep a diary. You're writing to share, and that awareness that the work is going out to other people and being shared is where the trouble starts, because as soon as you start worrying about those other people, you are going to be afraid because you have no idea what other people think. You have no idea how to control what other people like or don't like. You know that in your heart. You know it, and yet that is what the work wants to do. So how do you write this work that you love and want to share with other people and yet never think about those other people, because you cannot write fearlessly and wonder about other people? Fearless writing begins when you stop caring what other people think about what you write. That's what we're going to talk about today. So I put out a question to you all, and went like this. Let's think of the writing experience you have now. Think about the writing experience you're having now. And think about the expanded writing experience you would like to have. What stands between you and that? Is it time? Is it craft? Is it believing you're not intelligent enough? Is it that you have this job that gets in the way? What is it? I put it out there. And today, to help me with this, my good friend, Mr. R.J. Jeffries. R.J., you there?
I am, Bill.
R.J. has all the questions. He's rounded them all up. He's gathered them together. I've read a couple, but mostly I haven't read them. I need to be surprised. So R.J. is going to pick the perfect question. He's going to read it to me. And here's how it's going to work. I'm going to answer as many as I can. Now, if you want to call in and be a part of this conversation, I do love talking to people voice to voice. You can do so at 661-449-9357. That's 661-449-9357. If you call in, you will go to the top of the order, and I will take your question first. But if not, don't worry. I'm going to answer as many questions as I can today, and if we don't get them all, which I'm sure we won't, we're going to do it again next week. That's right, because I love doing this, and the more questions, the better. So let's dive right in. RJ, are you ready? Do you have the questions?
I am, Bill. First, I want to just thank all the amazing writers who graciously and generously sent their writing craft questions for today's show to you and myself. They're all outstanding.
Great.
And also, I want to apologize ahead of time for any mispronunciation of anyone. If I read their question, I'll do my
That's
very
right.
best.
That's
so
right.
To begin,
we're sorry
again,
if we pronounced your name wrong. We'll do our best.
We will.
All
and
right,
again,
what do you got?
Number, if you want to call in, is 661-449-9357, and you will go to the head of today's class.
That's right.
First question
That's
is
right.
from Toby Alfier, and that last name is spelled A-L-F-I-E-R. This is
okay.
a question I think about a lot. I know of a fiction writer who says when she gets ready to write fiction, she warms up to poetry. I know of a memoirist who regularly writes a blog. I feel like different genres of writing use different muscles. Is it important to learn to write in other genres as a way to make your preferred area of writing stronger? If so, how good do you have to be? Should you take workshops, classes, try for publications, or should you just exercise and then go back to the writing that you're most comfortable with and that you're known for?
You should not – I've never heard of this. So the question is, should you – would it be helpful – To write outside your own genre to strengthen the genre that you write in? Is that
and
the basic question?
Well, I think that's it, yep.
All right, first of all, there is no – as far as that kind of stuff, there is no should. In other words, you could be a perfectly happy, successful, thriving memoirist and never, ever write anything but memoir. Never write a single – piece of fiction, never write a single piece of journalism or poetry. You can absolutely just flourish and only ever write that. You can do the same with poetry. You can do the same with science fiction and fantasy, so on and so on. So there is no should, in my mind, to this question. Yes, poetry was very useful to me. I learned a lot about language and the compactness of language by writing poetry, because so much has to be done in so little time. But here is what I would say to this question that I think is at the core of the question. As a writer, you must learn to identify that impulse that tells you and you alone how to pursue your career. If you find yourself excited by the idea of writing poetry, but you write fiction, and you find yourself excited, interested in the idea of writing poetry just as a warm-up, try it. But if you think that person did it and they're succeeding, therefore I should, you're making that choice really with your mind, I would say no. Only if it excites you. As a creative person, you are never more tapped in, you are never more in alignment with your creative purpose than when you're excited. Your excitement is your guide. That's your little bell that's ringing that's telling you, yes, 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 you're headed in the right direction. Don't worry. Don't worry where it's going. Don't worry what anybody else is doing. Hear that sound? That's your excitement. That means you're headed in the right direction. Just keep going. Don't question it. Don't question it. Don't question it. Keep going. And so, yes, if it excites you, do it. If it doesn't, don't. If it doesn't excite you, if it doesn't interest you, don't. Or as an added option, flirt with it. Experiment. If it seems interesting, but it doesn't excite you, but maybe possibly, try it out. But just like anything you do when you're writing, pay attention to what it's like when you're doing it. Is it interesting? Does it help you? If it doesn't, listen to that. Listen to that impulse which says no. Listen to that impulse. The same impulse that tells you which word to put down and which story to choose is the same impulse you would use to know whether you should outline or not outline, what time you should write, what your little schedules are before you write. Do you want to write a candle? Do you want to drink some tea? Listen to that impulse. It'll tell you. It'll tell you. Does that make sense, Jeff, RJ?
It really does, Bill. Absolutely. We've talked about this because I do write prose and I write poetry, and I've had a screenplay produced. I've had a play produced, written screenplays. I find that those dots do connect for me. They're things I'm interested in the time that I really want to work on. So, you know, as Ray Bradbury says, I'm drunk on that part, that aspect of writing that genre at the time.
I will say this. I write music. I love to write music. And
by the way, you're quite a composer. That little intro is yours.
That's right. I wrote that little intro. That's correct. And the outro. And so, in fact, any music you hear around author was composed by me. And so I love to write music, and I found that I could do it really more seriously in the middle of my life. And I will tell you, one of the biggest jumps I made as a writer was by writing music. As a prose writer was when I wrote music, because when I wrote music, it forced me to listen, to really enter into the listening zone, which I wasn't doing enough of when I was writing. And after I started writing music and getting really relaxed with the sort of intuitive listening that is necessary to hear the song you want to hear, because there's no intellectual answer to music in a way, it got me out of my intellect and into my intuition much more in my writing, and my writing improved because of it. And so sometimes when I'm writing, I'm speaking now to who's the one who asked the question, Jeff, RJ?
That's Toby Alfier.
Toby. So I'm speaking to Toby now. Sometimes, for instance, when I will go and play the piano, which gets me loose and gets me happy and gets me relaxed and intuitive, and that helps me come back to my work if I'm feeling a little stuck. So I can use music to help me out that way. So there's no one answer. As always, please, people, listen, you're creative people. There is never one answer, except the only one answer is that your story should be unique to you. But there is no one way to do this writing thing. There is no one way. There just isn't. And anybody who tells you there is, I would head the other direction, because every time we think there's an absolute rule, someone breaks it. And while I follow many of the rules of writing that are written in the traditional craft books, I came to them intuitively and I found them organically, and they work for me. But there are some things I do which are a little outside the norm because they work for me. You've got to find what works for you. You have within you all the creative guidance you need to find the story you want to write that you can write in the way you want to write it. You don't need to be told how to write the book. It's okay if someone can help you and give you a little guidance, but ultimately you have it all inside you already. You were born with it. You just have to learn how to use it. You already have it. All right, what else we got, RJ?
This is another wonderful question from Deb Woods. And Deb is principally a poet and a very good poet. I am my own worst critic, as I'm sure most writers are. But I find that I often second-guess myself, sometimes scrutinizing what I'm working on, to the point that it can change shape so that it barely resembles my original thought. Do you have any words or advice that you can offer on this subject? Thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, usually when we're doing this, RJ, so I'm going to go back to my core belief about writing, which I hinted at, but I didn't get specific enough. But if you've ever listened to me teach, you know that the two questions I believe every writer should ask are, what do I want to say and have I said it? So what am I most interested in and have I expressed it accurately on the page? Now, Deb Wood is talking about the second question, which is, was it accurate? She's written something and she's looking at it, but she becomes her own worst critic. And I believe, I'd have to talk to her specifically, but as a rule, the reason I say, is it accurate, as the second question, is to avoid the question, is it any good? Even though, RJ, you and I probably have tremendous agreement about what, quote, good writing is, the things that move you and interest you and you find most effective, and I'm sure you and I have lots of agreement, there is, in fact, in the reading and writing world, tremendous disagreement about the choices different writers make. What you find good, another wonderful writer might not enjoy at all. And so when we say to ourselves, and we're looking at our work and saying, is it any good, what we're really asking, RJ, is what do other people think of it? I think the only time we second-guess ourselves is when, and it makes perfect sense, by the way. See, it's one thing when you're writing along and if you're writing a poem, you're sort of in that you sink into that dream state that you need to get into to write, you're entering almost like a meditative state, and it's very easy to, well, it's easier, I should say, at that point to forget about other people, to forget about your readers and the critics and the publishers and blah, 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 because you're alone in your room or wherever you write. And you're just you and your imagination, that's all you need. But as soon as you then begin to read it, now you've added a level of self-awareness because you now know that this thing that began in your mind where no one else could see it, this poem which came to her first as a feeling and then as images and then translated into words, now it's outside of you and you can see it and you are looking at the same thing other people will look at, and it's very natural at that time to begin to wonder, even quietly, I wonder what other people will think of it. And the reason she second-guesses herself is she has no idea what other people will think of it. And so if you can, at that moment, simply ask yourself, and I use the word accurate, I'm not talking about facts, of course, there's almost no such thing in poetry, but does this represent what I initially wanted to say? Does this capture what was so beautiful about the idea, what was so moving, what was so interesting and profound? And check with yourself. If you start second-guessing yourself, if you are second-guessing yourself, be very honest. Are you thinking about the reader at all? Have you allowed some part of your attention to drift to what other people will think of it? 9 times out of 10, that's why we're second-guessing ourselves, because we're saying, is this any good? I can't know, because what would other people think? In your true artistic heart, you know whether it works or not. You know whether it accurately represents what you want to say. You have to. It came from you, and only you can answer the question. But as soon as you begin to wonder about the reader, even the slightest bit, you lose track of your connection to the thing you're trying to write, because the reader is not there. The reader is some phantom you've invented, some phantom critic, some phantom imagination that doesn't actually exist except in your imagination. And this phantom is asking questions of the story that you can't answer, but you can certainly answer the question: Is this as interesting on the page as it was to me in my heart? I will know. I can say for myself, as soon as I begin to think about, so I'm writing a book now, and I'm getting ready to send in some chapters to my editor. If I think about that editor for even one moment, I cannot write that book. I think about the editor only when I write their name in the email and attach the chapters to it. But if I think about them while I'm writing it, I'm lost. I'm lost every time. I'm lost every time. So I hope that's someone trying to... Go ahead, RJ.
All the writers out here, from the wonderful, incredible, iconic Ray Bradbury.
Yeah.
as famous.
Go ahead, keep going. Someone's just trying to call in onto me, but don't worry about it.
Okay, that's wonderful, though. I was just going to say it's about 18. We're about 2/3 way through the show. If you want to call in,
we're going to do. I'm going to bump it up another 15 minutes just in case I need it. But let's get another question in anyway.
Okay, but my point was this: that he would still, decades into his career, look at something. He typed always on that royal manual
yep.
type. He would pull out the page and say to himself, I can't believe I just did that. I just created that. That came out of me.
So that is good.
On his own work, decades into being one of the most famous iconic writers of all time.
Right. And the reason he was so famous, and by the way, of all the writers that, when I've interviewed writers, and I've interviewed a lot of them, he has been more influential to than any other. He has been named more often as the most influential writer than any other writer, surprisingly.
Exactly.
Across genres. And he was a deeply, and we actually published an interview with him in Author a few years ago before he died. It was very cool. I didn't get to do it. Somebody else did it. And interestingly, what his key word, the word he used over and over again, the key to his writing success, well, it was a word that is the opposite of fear. And what is that word, RJ? What is the opposite of fear? Although it's actually a word that has no opposite. But its fear is the opposite of it, I guess you could say. What is that one word that isn't fear?
The absence of it.
The absence of fear is love. Love is what's left when fear is gone. And his love was what motivated him. It was love, 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 love. And when you and the reason he read it and would read the page and say, did that come out of me? Is because to some degree, no, he didn't. Not really. Not all by himself. Not all by himself. He sunk in and allowed the thing to come through. And allowed the thing to come through. And so that is why, by the way, people, it is perfectly legitimate to write something that you think is awesome and say to people, look at this, isn't this awesome? Because you know in your heart you didn't really write it all by yourself, not in the sense that we often celebrate people for. You know your true humility comes from the fact that you know you're in collaboration with something. You can name it whatever you want. Your muse, your imagination, source energy, God, I don't care, but you know you're in communication with something, that you're asking and listening and asking and listening. And so that's why Ray Bradbury could say that, because he was tapped in. He was tapped into that, and he knew how to let it flow.
And
he knew how to
quote,
let it flow.
If I can just take a moment to read this quote about love, which always stuck with me. Love what you do and do what you love. Don't listen to anyone else who tells you not to do it. You do what you want. Imagination should be the center of your life.
That's right. And I'm so glad he said that, because fearless writing is unconditional love for the story you're telling. In other words, you love the story you're telling. You're interested in the story you're telling, not because it's going to sell, and not because your writing group's going to like it, not because your agent's going to like it, or your editor. You like it just because you like it. No other because. You're interested because you're interested. That's unconditional. You love it. You love someone because you love them, not because they say nice things to you or they vote for the right politicians or they have the great hair. You love them because you love them. You love the story because you're interested, and no other reason. And when you can rest on that, that's when you let it flow. Do we have time for another? We have time for one more question. Lay one more on me, RJ.
Bring our other
These
agenda.
Are great.
Bring in Michael Sullivan.
Okay.
Been any question about inspiration and hearing the muse, or if the muse is silent. I feel the only time I can write something is when I have a momentary episode of inspiration. I don't know where the inspiration comes from or why it's so transitory. How can I expand my range of inspiration or not need to be inspired so I can't write?
Okay, so writing only happens when you're inspired, really? The question is, can you do it on purpose? The question is, can you do it on purpose? So the first thing I would say to Michael is, you can be inspired as often as you want, but you have to – this guy could do a whole hour just on this. But know this, there is a difference between your mood and your desire to write. If you can picture your inspiration, which is – you connected to the flow of creativity that is always flowing through you, your connection to your muse, whatever language you want, is always open, just like to some degree the water is always available to you in your house if you know where the spigot is. but you have to know how to bring your attention to the level of that inspiration. So to Michael's point, I write, Jeff, as you know, every day, like many writers. I do it every morning. And I will tell you right now, and Michael, I hope you listen to this, I am never in the mood to write when I write. I am never inspired when I write, at the moment I sit down, not at that moment. But what I have learned to do, what I have mastered, so to speak, after 30-some-odd years of doing this, is how to drop my attention to the level of my inspiration. So I stop thinking about the day. I stop thinking about my wife and kids, both of whom I love, but I stop thinking about them. I don't think about money. I don't think about Donald Trump. I don't think about ISIS. I don't think about people marching. I don't think about, unless I'm going to write about that, but I don't think about those things. And I get very quiet and allow my mind to still, because my mind can only think about one thing at a time. My mind's like a movie screen. I can only have one movie playing at one time. So I have to let that movie screen go blank and allow my attention to descend to the level of the inspiration. And for me, it starts very slowly. Maybe I find just one sentence that's interesting. Oh, that's an interesting sentence, and I write it down. Maybe I have a vague idea, and I sit and I think about that idea. That's an interesting idea. Nothing's coming fast, but I'm thinking about it. That's interesting. Well, that's interesting to me. The more I think about it, the less I think about the world, and the more I'm thinking about that idea, and the more I think about it, now I'm opening up that spigot, and I'm opening it up, and I'm opening it up, and next thing I know, I'm inspired. Next thing I know, I'm writing fast, and I'm jumping out of my seat, and I'm pacing around, and I'm talking to myself. But I wasn't that way when I sat down. So I'd say to Michael, you have to decide that it's something you can practice. And so set aside a time. Once a day, I would preferably once a day, 5 days a week, that's maybe 20 minutes long or half an hour, preferably an hour, where you're going to practice getting into the flow, practice finding the inspiration, with the understanding you will never start there. With the understanding you will never start there, but you will allow your mind to quiet and find the first interesting thing that comes to you and begin to quietly pursue it. And know that inspiration heats up. Just like a television show that you start watching, you think you're not that interested in, and all of a sudden you laugh once, and you laugh twice, and all of a sudden you're very interested in the show. It's the same way. You get interested, and then you're inspired. Does that make sense, RJ?
So rather, Bill, what I think you're saying is rather than just go at it head on, and conversely piecemeal, just begin the process. As you begin to enter the flow, it will come to you.
In other words, inspiration is always available, but you have to practice connecting to it. It is always available, but Michael has to decide that it is always available, but just like anything else, he has to practice finding it. He has to practice finding it, and the practice begins with belief that it's always available. If you do not believe it's always available, you cannot find what you do not believe exists. So he has to first believe it's always available. First believe it's available, and then quiet your mind. Understand that when you sit down to write, you're not going to be inspired by and large. It's okay. It's okay. But remember what it felt like to be inspired. Remember what it felt like when you were super interested. Remember what it was like when an idea came to you and you were hot on the trail. Remember what that felt like. Begin there. Begin thinking, I want to do that again. I wonder, how do I do that? What was that? What did that feel like? How could I do that again? What's the difference between that and just being sort of interested in something? It begins with an understanding that it's always available to you and finding the first thing that's even a little bit interesting and understanding that the kind of electric inspiration that he's talking about can be on the other end of the smallest little idea that you allow yourself to pursue without judging it and worrying about it and criticizing it. Oh, it's good. It's good. People, this went so fast. You see, I knew it would. I did. We got to just three little questions, though a lot was said. So, people, I'm going to do it again next week. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it until we run out of questions because this is awesome. This is fearless writing. It's what we all want. It's what's available to us. And let me just say, you've all written fearlessly. If you've ever written, you've written fearlessly. That's when writing begins, when you forget to be afraid. So just as I was describing to my friend Michael, whom I haven't met, but I know as writer brother, the question isn't whether you're going to write fearlessly. The question is whether you're going to do it on purpose, whether you believe you can do it on purpose, which you can. So if you want to be a part of this conversation, post, I'm on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is WDBK. Friend me on Facebook, William Knauer. Bill Knauer, I think I go by Bill Knauer on Facebook, and or post it. We post the master classes on Facebook, and where else do we do it? Well, or you can email me at bill@authormagazine.org, bill@authormagazine.org with your question. And if you can't, and if you can, call into the show. I would love just to talk to you. That's even better. It's even better. What do you think, RJ? Should we do it again next week?
I think it's a necessity. We must.
We have so many
more questions. And Bill, if you want to continue to do this, depending on how many questions we have left, I better make some plans, shift my plans around for Christmas and the holidays.
Incredible.
I have to say this again. Thank you so much for these amazing questions. And of course, feel free,
yes.
RJ Jeffries. On Facebook, just RJ Jeffries Space Poet on Google. You'll go right to my Facebook. Email me on Facebook as well. Many of you have my own email address anyways. The right step at Comcast.net. But they found me, and I'm sure they'll find me again. So, Bill, this has been phenomenal. Thank you so much. I, as always, must repeat this as well. I learn from you every time we have a conversation.
Oh, well, thank you, RJ. Thank you. That's really sweet. And, you know, I want to say to you, those of you who offered questions, and I'm going to get to every question. I don't care how many weeks it takes. I'm going to get to them all. I learned so much doing this myself, and I couldn't do it without you guys asking those questions. You may think you learn. I hope you do. I hope you do. But I know I do. I learned so much by giving the opportunity of inviting my own inspiration and my own imagination to bringing them to these questions. I learn more about it every time. I can think about it on my own, but I get so much more when other people come to me with questions. They inspire things that I wouldn't have thought of otherwise. So thank you all
Bill,
from the bottom of my heart.
One more. If people want to contact you, go to williamkanauer.com. You teach amazing workshops.
That's right. I should say, on another note, I do. I teach fearless writing workshops and master classes. You can contact me. I can do them in person if you live in the Puget Sound area or the Northwest. I can do them virtually if you have a writer's group and you want me to do it through Google, Skype, or Hangout, or whatever you want. I love teaching these, and I do it as often and anywhere I can. So if you're interested in having me talk to your group or your writing group or your writing organization or just work with me one-on-one, contact me. Go to williamkanauer.com, and you can contact me there. Awesome. People, we're going to do it again. Write fearlessly. It's not a question of, again, can you? It's just a question of how often you will. And so until then, do what you love. RJ, take care of yourself, buddy.
Thank you. You too, my friend.
Okay. Bye-bye, everybody. Write fearlessly.